Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So a couple of weeks ago, Watsons released a pretty interesting 15-minute short film to kick off their Hari Raya campaign. Now, most of you would definitely have heard about it. Not everyone would have had the chance to see it. It starts off pretty innocently.
Tersebutlah Al-Kisah di sebuah negara kayangan. Sam-Sam Al-Kasam tinggal seorang saudagar. Al-Kasam.
Sudah, cukup, cukup. Ay, enten, macam mau jual kurma dah. Bagi Ana yang sambung, Ana punya...
Right off the bat, you get this feeling that they're definitely trying to have a little bit of fun with the ad. In the setup, we get introduced to this bachelor, this guy named Saudagar Al-Kasam.
Saudagar bujang handsome, kaya, emas, intan, berlian, permata.
And every night, he hears a woman with a beautiful voice singing to him. So what does he do? Well, he calls for a competition to find this mysterious dream girl.
Ana mahu ente sebarkan berita ini. Cari ratu-ratu yang terhebat, tercantik di dunia. Cari di seluruh pelosok negara. Kerana Ana ingin mencari seorang gadis yang muncul dalam mimpi Ana. Dia menyanyi. Sungguh merdu suaranya membuatkan telinga Ana cair.
So the ladies get really excited, and from all over the world, princesses descend upon our shores.
Dari tanah Jawa, Melayu, Siam, China, India, Timur, Barat, Utara, Selatan, Aceh, Bawah, Depan, Belakang.
And what ensues is a pretty cringy 5 minutes of women competing against each other and behaving in all kinds of silly ways to prove their worthiness to him. But it's not until we're 9 minutes into the ad, when Dayan Senandung arrives, that we're confronted with the scene that has sparked a million angry comments.
Ana rasa wajah ente mesti secantik dan seindah suara ente. Show me your face. Tunjukkan Ana. Tunjukkan pada dunia. Silakan. Tak sabar Ana nak lihat muka ente yang indah dan cantik itu.
If you haven't watched the ad, surely you would have seen the screenshot of Dayan Senandung coyly revealing herself to be wearing blackface. Her skin is painted pitch black. And for those who are unfamiliar, blackface is defined as the makeup that's used by a non-black performer playing a black role. And it's universally agreed to be really offensive. This short film, or ad, was based on the Malaysian fairy tale Dayang Senandung. According to the brand, they chose the story to highlight the legend, the moral values of inner beauty, and to show that true love exists. But from the spate of backlash that they received, it's pretty clear that the public wasn't too agreeable to this rationale/apology. The 15-minute short film was immediately called out for being tone-deaf, racist, and sexist.
Seindah rupa berharap kasih jiwa dan raga.
I'm Tasha Fusil, and tonight on Happily Ever After here on The Evening Edition, we're going to be talking about this story of Dayan Senandung to try and understand its origin and how it may have gotten lost in translation along the way. For that, I needed to get in touch with someone who would have a deeper understanding of our traditional Malaysian folktales. So I reached out to Ninot Aziz.
I'm Ninot Aziz. I'm an author, a poet, and I write basically on Malay legends, anthologies first, and then nowadays I write novels based on these hikayat.
The original Dayan Senandung is a Malay folklore about a lady cursed with black skin and a beautiful voice. And that voice was so beautiful that a king fell in love with her. The curse of that black skin was only broken after Dayan Senandung gave birth to the king's child. Here's Ninot to help explain what the story is and where it came from.
Dayan Senandung actually is a movie. and it's a movie adaptation of popular Malay legends. Now, Malay legends, generally we call them hikayat. There are the romance, there are the historical hikayat. And while Dayang Senandung is really not a hikayat per se, because it's a movie adaptation, it alludes to many hikayat that holds the same premise. For example, hikayat Dandan Setia. Now, so the storyline is roughly about the same. It's like this. There is the kayangan.
Just for people who might not know what kayangan is.
Okay, so kayangan would be a land above the wind, paradise, something like that.
Okay.
Okay. So, in kayangan, there would be a princess. And generally, she might rebel against her father's wishes, the king, to marry a certain prince. Or it can be any other transgression in the palace. So, as punishment, she would be banished, and she would be banished to earth. Now, banished to earth, generally in the form of a pomegranate, dilima, or a mango, manga. And once she is thrown to earth, there will be a queen or someone on earth who will actually eat this fruit and expect a baby, and then she would be born. And there are quite a few stories where the baby is born with dark skin. So Dandan Setia is one of the stories where this Kayangan princess was reborn as Intan Terpilih. She's very clever. She was taunted all the time by her cousin, Dandan Setia. And through many challenges, finally he discovers that he loves her and they get married. Okay, so that is generally the premise of the story. And Dayang Senandung alludes to that storyline.
So Dayang Senandung is a 1965 movie adaptation. How did that storyline go? And is it anything like what we saw in the Watson's ad?
Well, I think the Watson ad took the idea of Dayang Senandung, but it is not really the full story. So I think to say that it is really based on the movie even is not quite there. The only element from the said ad which ties it to Dayang Senandung was actually only the colour of her skin, that she was black, etc. Now, in the ad, she said that the reason why she did that was to see how sincere the Al-Khazam would be, etc.
Saudaga Al-Khazam.
Yeah, Saudaga Al-Khazam.
Harum Senandung, ka?
Kakinda Al-Khazam?
Yeah.
Sebenarnya, Adinda hanya ingin menguji ketulusan hati Tuan Hamba. Adinda tidak hitam. Adinda flawless lagi. Tadi Adinda pergi cuci muka lah.
However, in Dayang Senandung, it was a curse from someone who was also physically black. But that was the only connection between the two. So the ad interpretation did not take into consideration the full flavor of the story, whether it's Dayang Senandung or even earlier versions of such a legend, like I said, Dandan Setia. The connection is only on the surface. But all that difficulty that Dayang Senandung or Intan Terpilih had to go through in life, you know, Dayang Senandung and her father had to leave the kingdom, that is not portrayed in the ad. And that actually is the essence, that you go through so much pain, and that did not come through in the ad. So you miss that. That is the soul of the story.
And are her challenges the same in, say, for example, Dayang Senandung, where her mother-in-law rejected her, where she was rejected by a lot of people? Is that...
It was rejection, not her mother-in-law, because in Dandan Setia, it was her cousin and etc. So a little bit different, but in general, she was disliked by people who could not see beyond her inner strengths.
Obviously, this curse that Dayang Senandung has is a central part of the story, but it's also the most controversial part of the story, right? That she's born with darker skin. What is this reflective of, in your opinion? I mean, you can't escape the historical context of when it was written or when these stories were first created. Was there any sort of prejudice against dark skin at the time, you know, or is it just a storytelling mechanism that they used?
You see, we are talking about maybe 200 years ago. Society was very different then. Hikayat, generally, is very reflective of the society. What it tries to portray then might not be the same lessons that it wants to portray today. If you go to Kelantan, the people there are fair. It's generally felt, oh, okay, if you're fair, then you're very beautiful. But that was that time. You see, the issue in the Hikayat stories was not the color of the skin. The issue was a woman being not beautiful, as opposed to being beautiful. At that time, being dark was not beautiful. That premise would not apply to today, because today, you can be anybody. You can be fair, you can be dark, you can be sawo matang, and that can be considered beautiful. So we can't use the same storyline.
With this particular ad, it begs the question of whether these fairy tales even have a place in today's world where beauty isn't something that we should be focusing so much on.
I think there is the sad demise of many of these hikayats. And so the people today are not very familiar with the lessons that hikayat can portray. Of course, to me, when I read hikayat, I see there are so many things that are conveyed in the hikayat. For example, the sense of adventure, as well as the need to travel, the lessons that you learn while traveling, how you overcome challenges. There is Cik Siti Wan Kembang from Hikayat Sri Kelantan. This story is about a queen around the 1600s, about the same time as Queen Elizabeth I. She is a strong queen that ruled for about 60 years. She ruled alone.
Is this a true story?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But the way Hikayat is written, it is fact and fiction put together to give that sense of grandeur. So there is a little bit of magic, etc. But the story is essentially correct. So this is a queen from our land who manages to run a sizable kingdom. That is a good story for ladies today. Putri Sardong is the same thing. Tun Fatima. Tun Fatima is a true story. It's legendary, but it's a true story of how a queen actually rallied the people around her. She had to overcome, the Sultan, her father was assassinated, as well as her husband. But she became queen, and she had to live through the times when Malacca was seized. So these are stories that we should really be proud of. It's not really all about beauty. It's about culture. When you read about Hikayat, you will see that there were beautiful musical instruments played, the gamelan at that time. There were food, how people travel with food, how we built ships that really sailed the seas, how we built palaces, and all the technology that came from China, that came from Aceh to build these palaces. So things like that, we need to know about it. We need to know that our people were builders, were sailors, were queens, kings. We need to know that.
Given how there's so many hikayat out there that's rich with culture and history, was Dayang Senandung perhaps the wrong choice to begin with? And what else did this campaign get wrong? We'll explore that when we come back. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
You're back on Happily Ever After here on The Evening Edition. I'm Tasha Fusil, and I'm with Ninat Aziz, who is a poet, an author, and a storyteller who knows a lot about our traditional Malay folktales. Ninat's been giving us the background on Dayang Senandung, which was originally this 1965 film that was inspired by old folktales like Hikayat Dandan Setia. The reason Dayang Senandung has seen this sort of revival is because of a Hari Raya campaign that recently went viral that took a pretty loose interpretation of the story Dayang Senandung. This ad or short film was immediately criticized for being racist, for promoting blackface, and for reinforcing all kinds of prejudice against race and gender. But then there are also commentators who've come to the defense of Watson, saying that it was just, a comedic take on a beloved traditional folktale. So I asked Ninot about this, whether she felt the ad had any redeeming qualities, at least in terms of storytelling, even though a lot of it was maybe heavy on the slapstick humor.
I think several things went wrong with the advertisement. It is Hari Raya, and Hari Raya is where warmth and tradition and culture really is in the limelight. Now, the way the advertisement was carried out, there was too much slapstick, and also there was this belittling of the Malay language. You know, because Maya Mungurai, she announced that her Bahasa Malaysia is not that good, etc.
Hi, you all. My name is Putri Maya Mungurai. I tak pandai cakap Bahasa Melayu, tapi saya cuba. Because, you know, I have a lot of mix.
I think it's perhaps not for Hari Raya. But there were these visuals of the ship sailing and the istana, which is not... It was mainly Arabic.
Very Arabian Nights.
Very Arabian Night kind of thing. Yeah. Not really Malay. So those were very nice. But I think it was wasted because of the execution of the whole advertisement, which really is a pity. I hope perhaps they will do it again and really spend time on the content or on the storyline.
I think the storyline I found quite laughable because, you know, it's about this prince who's apparently such a stud that women from all over the world are just clamoring for his love and attention. And I don't know whether I'm being a little bit harsh about this, but it feels like it's being told from a very, very male perspective. And I wonder whether the hikayat has that same sort of tone.
Well, sometimes it depends on the hikayat. But there are very woman-centric hikayat. For example, as I mentioned, Cik Siti Wan Kembang, there's Tun Fatimah, there's Aduga Wijamalai. There's very strong women Sri Kandi in the Malay hikayat. So it really depends on the story. But where the said ad was concerned, for you, it is the male persona kind of a thing. For me, I do not see why that shoe. I mean, we are talking, okay, if we say we want to use the Malay hikayat as the background to the story, why a shoe which everyone immediately thinks of, well, at least me,
Cinderella.
Think of Cinderella.
Yeah.
Why are we putting Western culture into something that we say we want to portray our own folklore? No, do away with that. No more westernizing of what is our beautiful culture or our beautiful stories. Let's show our stories as they really are, which is very, very beautiful and had a world audience.
That's a great point. I mean, the characters, Bawang Kecil and Bawang Besar, in the story, they reminded me of stepsisters from Cinderella. And I wasn't sure whether that's actually something that I had taken from hikayat.
Well, Maya Mungurai, she was Rapunzel.
Oh, right. Yes, the hair.
Yeah, so why do we do that? And especially, why do we do that for Hari Raya? Because I think the understanding of the Malay culture is very low at the moment. And that is really, really sad. That is why I only focus on writing novels and anthologies which give the Malay culture and tradition a platform. And I hope very soon that there will be movies and advertisements that will give the Malay culture this platform. Because from what I saw, the animation, the thought, there was real serious effort and money spent on this advertisement.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I would like to see a lot of old knowledge, including hikayat, be portrayed in such manners. But you must understand the psyche of hikayat to be able to execute it well. Hikayat and the Malays, well, because we are talking about Malay legends, so I have to refer to the Malays. But the Malays never insult. They will, we say it in Malay, berkias. If we scold, we do it in a pantun way, or etc. So it is not a direct insult, because a direct insult is really out of adab. It is not acceptable in the society. So there is a certain way to use stories like Hikayat, even the comedies, I think Dayan Senandung was the wrong choice. Because in today's society, it doesn't matter whether you're dark, you're fair, etc. You can be beautiful. Different in those days. And even then, it's not in all Malay worlds that dark was not beautiful. So you have to be careful with how you translate the Hikayat in today's world. And Hikayat evolves with time. And if you have that understanding, you will know there are certain things that you can say in the world today, and there are things that 200 years ago might apply but will not apply today. So Hikayat evolves, and you must be able to carry it through.
With a story like Dayang Senandung, is there any way that it could have evolved in a way that would have been acceptable to us today? Or is this the kind of story that should be better left to the history books, you know, shouldn't be something that we should be rehashing in 2017?
I would have to think about that. I would have to give myself some time to think about that. But if it were me, no, we can use such a story. I wouldn't say Dayang Senandung, maybe Dayang Setia, etc. It doesn't have to focus on colour of skin. For example, there is a Hikayat where the princess was born with her head was shaped as a box.
Wow.
Okay. The reason being is Hikayat. It's the fantastical and the magical.
Magic.
Yeah.
Right.
The reason being she hid all her jewelry in the box above her head. So you know, it's beauty throughout the ages changes. So the concept can be the same. But the representation of beauty and what is not beautiful perhaps could have been changed.
Do you think that big brands, big corporations are the right people to be taking these beautiful stories and introducing them to the audience? Are they the right people? As you say, it's about understanding those stories, and it feels like that's not going to be possible unless you have someone like yourself consulting with them. You know what I mean?
That's a good idea. Okay, now. The Hikayat stays in the minds of the people. What is the best way to encourage people to understand your product or your service or an idea that you want to throw to the masses? It is storytelling. Now, when we see the Great Wall, it is basically China telling what a great nation they are. So likewise, if we want ideas to be taken up by the people, storytelling would be the best way. Now, the advantage of Hikayat is actually in your psyche, is in your mind, and the cultural traditions that come with it, the food, the music, the dance, people will immediately identify with it. So yes, because the big corporations would have the funds, it would be good to see corporations help to promote our own stories. Why shouldn't we?
We don't have to be snobby about
about
who can and cannot tell these stories.
Yes. I mean, okay, let's look at Hollywood. How many movies have been made based on Little Red Riding Hood, Snow White? These stories generate billions. It's not only the movies, it's all the merchandise, etc. Why aren't we doing this with our own stories? Because we have great stories.
As you say, the stories are constantly evolving, right? What would an original Hikayat from back then, from 200 years ago, look like today?
Okay. Are you familiar with Romeo and Juliet?
Yes, of course. Okay. Of course.
Are you familiar with William Shakespeare's stories? You would be, right? Why? Why is that?
We've just been exposed to it in so many different ways, different directions just coming at us.
Exactly. Now, you see, Shakespeare's stories have been retold from the 1600 until today. Each generation is exposed to a new adaptation or a new spin. So all throughout that time, the society actually grew up with Shakespeare stories.
Thousand trials, the storm will never fall.
The problem with our legends, many of them are still in the form they were written centuries ago. So all we need to do is really more writers from Malaysia or from Indonesia or from the region give their take on the Malay Hikayat. Well, I'm doing that. And I'm sure many others will do. Now, they have to take it back to the theatre and the movies, which Tan Sri P. Ramlee did so well. So once it comes to that, then I think the legends and folklores of this land will be part of mainstream again. And it's really a sad thing if we do not make that happen. Because through the stories is where you find the knowledge, the thinking of the people.
That was Nina Aziz, author and poet. One of the most fascinating things to come out of this kerfuffle would have to be the comments and the online attention that it's received. So we'll look into that with Fuad Rahmat when we come back. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's Happily Ever After on the Evening Edition, where we look at the fairy tales and folklore that we grew up with. Now, I can't recall in recent times of any Malay folklore that has seen the amount of attention that Dayang Senandung has in the past couple of weeks. So to talk to me a little bit about all that flurry and attention is Fuad Rahmat, the host of Night School here on BFM. My first question would be, I guess, to talk about the reaction that this ad got once it went viral. You know, the bulk of it was negative, but there were some people that came to the defense of Watson. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, it did. Largely because it's not so much the explanation, because I don't think the explanation was convincing, but I think people were trying to give Watson the benefit of the doubt in that the message is saying we should look at inner beauty, right? And not looks, right? So I think the few defenses that I've come across of the ad was trying to emphasize on that. But I don't think that people who spoke out for Watson's or for the ad were very convincing. I think they were a minority sentiment, I feel.
Some of the people that defended it said that, you know, it's based on a beautiful old legend and we should, you know, respect that. I don't...
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch, isn't it?
Because yeah.
Most people don't know that legend, I think. I mean, it's not the first legend that comes to mind, right, if you ask the average Malaysian. So I don't know if people feel connected enough to that story to see what's inside of it. You know what I mean? Because it's not like Sang Kanche, Lohang Tua or something where we kind of grow up around it, we can relate to that story. It has, like, emotional meaning for us. So I just don't know. I just don't find it that convincing either way, you know.
So I spoke to Ninon Aziz, who knows a lot about Hikaya and knew a lot about, you know, was trying to explain to me what the core message of this particular story was. And she says, so it's, the issue is not the color of the skin itself. The issue is was with her not being beautiful in the conventional sense. So, you know, do you think that this could have all been avoided if she was, if they had just changed that particular element, if they had just painted her green instead of black?
Yeah, or if they played with her appearance more, right, in the sense that maybe she was scruffy or she wasn't
right.
Fashionable, and then suddenly she could sing and everybody's enthralled, right? So they could have done it differently rather than play with skin tone, you know? And I think as Malaysians too, because we compare ourselves all the time, right? Who's Malay, who's Chinese, who's Indian, and even within the Malay context, there's some who are fairer skinned than others, and then you have the fair and lovely complex that haunts everybody, right? So I think people are very, very sensitive, and their patience level for this sort of like in-your-face kind of trolling, right? I know it's not trolling because there's like a higher noble message, right? But the way that that scene was framed, right, when she turned and then she smiled, and then the way that this feature of hers was just so accentuated, I think didn't leave much room for nuance, right? So say if they had that story, but they could tell it in a more original way, or it wasn't so caricaturized, right? Then maybe we would have ended with a different kind of discussion. But even early on, the way that the tone was set, it wasn't asking us to take it seriously. That was the impression I got, at least.
Definitely. I think it was pretty obvious from the get-go that they were trying to, have fun with it, I suppose. You know, it was meant to be a comedy, and all the jokes and humor that you find in it is quite in line with the kind of comedy that we're used to here in Malaysia. Would you say that Malaysians are kind of growing wary of this brand of humor that as you say, you know, it's a bit slapstick, it's a little bit, you know, obvious?
I don't think they're growing wary. I think it touched a nerve, right? In the sense that I think as Asians, you know, trying to be modern and trying to, I guess, develop, quote unquote, we've all had to struggle with appearances, right? Being dark skin with its stigma, its association with being more of a, say, a worker, right? Somebody who tends to the fields and more exposed to the sun, and we don't really want that sort of legacy in us anymore. You know, we want to think beyond appearances and stuff like that. It's a relatable issue in a sense. So I think people are reacting more out of that than anything else, right? Because there's so many ads to be offended by every day, because that's how you peddle any product, right? You go for the common denominator, you go for the simplest messaging, and you assume that your audience is a bit naive, that they would buy something just because you package the product a certain way, right? That's just the ad world, right? But this takes it a step further in the sense that it really goes for a raw nerve, right? And that is the fact that we are very, very insecure about our skin tone, what skin tone means, and how we're perceived, right? So it was just like a bad recipe for being liked, right? Especially as a brand. So it was a bad day in the office.
Well, I suppose if there were to be any sort of silver lining to this, it's the fact that it has drawn a little bit of attention to old folklores that are Malaysian. What's your take on this attempt to contemporize an old story to make it relevant in today's time? Do you think that that's a good way forward? Do you think we need to be doing more of that? Or do you think that there are just some stories better left in the past?
You know, incidentally, it's something I've been thinking about a lot as well. And my angle is less about culture, but more about nature. There's something rich about the old Sangkanchil stories, which one can see as a way in which humans were trying to make sense of the environment around them. So Sangkanchil, if you look at what he tries to do in most of the stories, he's this helpless, small animal, but he gets away around other bigger, meaner animals through his intelligence. And the message is that, you know, you don't have to be overwhelmed by nature if you have the right kind of intelligence. And it's not scientific intelligence or bookish intelligence, but just wit, wisdom, a bit of observational skills, and you can understand the world around you better, right? Of course, the kind of Sangkanchil we get through RTM and stuff like that, it's a very, very simplistic reduction of that story, right? It's about getting a laugh or having like a cute character to kind of associate your identity with or something, right? But at its heart, at the core of the Sangkanchil stories, it's just that human beings trying to look around them and see, all right, what can we identify with our natural world, right? Especially if you think about the setting in which these stories emerge as folklore, as part of our oral tradition, is at that point when the civilization here was trying to understand itself. Okay, what separates us from nature? Sure, humans have culture, humans have intelligence, humans are vulnerable. We don't have fangs, shells, fur, right? We're very vulnerable to nature, right? The slightest storm will destroy us, right? Because at that point, we didn't have concrete housing. But the idea here is that our vulnerability can be overcome with a bit more observational nous, right? Just a little bit more intelligence. And then we can kind of like understand our place in nature, right? So that's the value of the Sangkanchil stories, which I think we should rediscover, because Malaysia being so biodiverse, but unfortunately at the same time trying to modernize, and we're at the equator where most of the climate change and global warming issues are taking place. I think that sort of rediscovery, right? Our uniqueness as Malaysians, given our complex biodiversity and how we can sort of think through that. The world is falling apart, right? But we need narratives to understand what's going on. And as Malaysians, we have that as part of our resources. If you look at our traditional stories, you know, a lot of this speaks to the uniqueness of the Malaysian context, right? But the idea here is that, yes, we should rediscover these traditional stories, but I would like it grounded in our context. And I would like it grounded in the contemporary political scene, in that climate change is real, Malaysians have to do something about it, and maybe these stories can be rediscovered in a way that makes us look at nature and understand it and appreciate it better. Yeah, and we have a lot of that, and one starting point is Sang Kancil.
My thanks to both my guests this evening. You can, of course, catch Fuad Rahmat on Night School Thursdays at 8 o'clock with repeats on Saturday at 6. Ninon Aziz has written 6 books that are infused with stories and themes from old Malay folklore. They're great and you can find them at all good bookstores. If you've missed any part of the show, you can, of course, download the podcast on www.bfm.my or on our mobile app. This has been Happily Ever After on BFM 89.9.
Great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during red, white, and blue savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.